All right. Good morning and welcome everyone to the Marin Transit District Board of Directors meeting. We'll officially call the meeting to order. And I think before we start with a roll call, consider approval to request remote participation. Kate, I'll have you walk us through that.
Yes, there were no requests for remote participation by any directors today. Thank you.
Then we'll just move into a roll call.
Yes, I will now call roll. President Lucan.
Here.
Vice President Sackett. Second Vice President Casissa.
Here.
Director Colbert. Director Moulton Peters. Director Radoni.
Here.
Director Bushy. Director Yorans Gulati.
Here.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
All right. Thank you. And maybe quick instructions for those joining remotely.
Yes. At today's meeting, in-person comments will be heard before virtual comments. If you are joining us on Zoom and you would like to comment, please use the raise hand icon located on your screen. If you're participating by phone call, please press *9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, your name will be called and you'll be prompted to unmute your device. You'll then have 2 minutes to speak. This concludes the instructions and I'll pass the meeting back to President Lucan. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll jump right into open time for public expression for those joining in person or remotely. I'm not seeing any here in the room. Anybody online?
I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
Okay. Board of Directors matters. I'll look to my colleagues if there's any that you have. All right. Oh, no. No. Well, we do have one on behalf of the board and on behalf of the entire agency, a matter that we want to announce and celebrate. And that's this week is a pretty special week at Marin Transit because on Wednesday, Lauren is going to be celebrating 20 years, 20 years with the district. She's Marin Transit's longest serving employee, started at the county as a senior transportation planner when there was only one employee. Since then, she's risen through the ranks to become the Director of Finance and Capital Programs. Lauren's mentorship has led to several staff advancing from analysts into management roles over the years. She's a valued and respected member of Marin Transit and the Marin Transit team, and we want to congratulate you on 20 years of service to Marin Transit.
Thank you.
To embarrass you even more, we're going to have you come on up here, and we want to present you with this. And actually, let's use it as our, let's grab a photo too. So we're all going to come around, and we're going to, I'm going to invite all the staff up. There you go. Let's come around here.
Your facial expression. Let's go.
And we'll try to get as much as. Let me. You know what? Let me see if Monique can take.
Yeah, get the whole staff in.
Well, then there we go.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Oh, you can be like back here.
Yeah.
Just the camera. Yeah. That's so funny.
All right. Thanks, guys. You gotta get the whole Marine. 20 years. I mean, this is. There we go.
You want one for Instagram?
Happy birthday.
All right.
All right, as the board comes back and gets seated, Lauren, on behalf of the entire board, we really want to just thank you for all of your service. And I know as we go into the general manager report, Nancy might have a word or two that she might want to share as well. But thank you and congratulations. With that, I'll hand it over to our general manager.
Thank you, President Lucan, members of the board. And Kate, if you want to start the slides. And I would just like to add that Lauren has been such an integral part of our staff for so long. And one of the things that I think we all love about Lauren is her enthusiasm for almost everything she does and her competitive spirit. We do a lot of games, and Lauren is definitely one of the ones who's right there with us on the games. And also, and then of course, in her professional side, has been leading us through a very successful financial audits every year and through our capital program. So we really appreciate and think Lauren's such a special part of our team. So thank you, Lauren. All right, next slide, please. There we go. So we were very happy to announce that we have been working over the past several months, as you know, to complete the environmental work on our proposed facility project at 1075 East Francisco Boulevard. And that the initial study evaluation, which is required under CEQA, or how we pursued this under CEQA, determined that no significant impact on the environment. There was no significant impact on the environment, and that no environmental impact report is required. And so we've prepared the preliminary mitigated negative declaration, and also the initials are ISMND, initial study mitigated negative declaration, and it was released for public review officially today. And that notice went out. The notice of availability and the comment period begins today. It will go through December 2nd. The item was posted in the IJ. It's been posted on our website. It's been posted on signs on the site. We've mailed over 300 postcards to residents in the area, and we will be posting it on our social media accounts. So the public can comment in writing. There's the way to do it online, of course, letters or online. And then we will have at your next board meeting, December 1st, we'll have a time for public comment on it as well. So then the responses to comments, we'll prepare responses to comments and a recommendation to your board for adoption of the findings and issuance of the notice of determination, which that would then, it's planned for your January board meeting, so January 5th. So we have completed all the technical studies. That's a part, of course, of the document. And those are all available online as well. And the list of some of those are there. So that's a major milestone for us on this project. And so, again, looking forward to getting comments back on the CEQA document. Next slide. So this is our monthly report then on ridership, and the gray line is from last year and the red line is from this year. This August ridership was at about 276,000 passengers, and it was very slightly above August of last year. So our fixed rate ridership continues to do well, and of course we are still well above our pre-COVID ridership. And then next slide, please. And demand response actually was very moderate this month. The ridership was about equal to the last August, slightly below, but very, very similar to last August. And so we're holding steady on the paratransit or demand response ridership. And that concludes my report. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Nancy. Any questions for our general manager?
Yes.
Oh, Director Bushy.
One question on the CEQA document.
Yes.
I see that comments are due by December 2nd, so it will close. And I'm wondering what the plan is for any of the community benefits that have been identified, because I'm thinking that some of them might have like construction implications. I'm thinking like the electric resilience and parking and charging and things like that. So yeah. Are those included, or is there an opportunity to include them, or what's the plan?
Yeah. So right now, the document does provide for some of those. And you've seen we presented back in September, I presented a list of the types of community benefits or other options, things that we were considering. And there were about, I don't know, a dozen, 10 or 12, and we went through those. We have those that do require the most construction, like housing. We had identified in that report to you in September that was not feasible. So those are the ones that would have the biggest impact, we believe, on environmental concerns. But some of the others, like the EV charging, we will provide EV charging for employees parking at the lot anyway. So we don't believe there'll be any impact if it were to be made available to others to use. It's a certain number of spaces, for example. So those are two kinds of examples that where I think the ones that we have identified as being things that we think are feasible, we believe would not have an environmental impact. Of course, as the design for the project goes forward, we'll have to see if that's the case, if there is a need to revisit any environmental impact.
So then the closing of the environmental impact statement comments will not close the consideration of the listed community benefits.
That's correct. And there's a lot of other community work that we'll want to do in terms of what we've been hearing so far through our outreach process. And when we raise these options, these other ideas, frankly, I think there's been more interest when we showed, and I think your board showed some interest in the architectural design. So we'll definitely be engaging a lot more on that. But we don't envision that's having an environmental impact right now. I mean, if it did, we would look into that.
Very good. Thank you.
Any others? Director Colbert.
Yeah, thank you, Nancy, for the O&M facility project update. And I appreciate the comments you made about the outreach process. I would just encourage you and the rest of your team to really keep the focus on authentic community engagement as we continue to move this project forward.
Director Jorenz Galati.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for the report. So I guess I have a similar question around the CEQA. So what you're saying is basically after the period is closed, there are still some changes that can be made. Because I guess going also around the community engagement, I feel that some of the community engagement has happened in the summer. Although we had a couple of other times that we went out there to the community. Now that we had the CEQA report, I think it would be really helpful to figure out another way to engage maybe this month with the community so they really understand the project and the community benefits as well.
So yes, and we do have an outreach plan. In fact, we brought a draft of that to your board in March. And so we've been working with our consultants and the City of San Rafael staff on a community engagement plan that does call for additional community engagement and actually working with Canal Alliance on getting folks brought up to speed on how to provide a significant impact to us for several projects. I think we've mentioned to you the way we were trying to put this together is to have it for our facility and for our service changes, which you're going to hear a lot more about today, as well as for our Clipper changes, because those are things that are going to really touch the community immediately. And so we wanted to have a group of people who were able to provide that input on a more regular basis. So yeah, that is something that we will continue. We do have a plan for that, in fact.
Okay, well, if you could, sorry, I can't see my microphone. If you could share the plan and the dates, I would love to promote that community engagement and make sure that we have a full house, to get feedback. So
great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any others? All right. Nancy, thank you for the report. Why don't we just quickly see if there's any public comment on the general manager's report, or also we'll call for public comment on consent at the same time.
Okay. I see no one in the room. I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We'll move on to our consent calendar. We didn't have any public comment. Would somebody like to make a motion?
I'll move adoption of the consent calendar.
I'll second it.
So that's moved by Sackett, seconded by Casissa. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Item number six, request for additional full-time staff to support the Travel Navigator program. Turn it over to our staff.
Yes, that I'll be presenting this item. Thank you. The item number six in your packet does ask for approval of the addition of one full-time equivalent position to support the Travel Navigator program. And this position would be funded largely through contract savings that would be made by reducing the Travel Navigator services provided in the TransDev contract. And then just a little bit of background, the Travel Navigator program provides a one-stop shop for older adults and people with disabilities to learn about the mobility programs, mobility management services actually that we offer. The Travel Navigators register new riders and complete the eligibility process. So that's their primary function. TransDev has staffed the program as a part of our contract with them to provide the suite of Marin access services. And that includes, of course, the paratransit services and all of the mobility wallet and our shuttles and whatnot. Our staff has provided the Travel Navigators with ongoing support, training, and oversight. And for the past several months, the TransDev has experienced staff turnover and has struggled to provide adequate staffing to support the needs of both our existing and potential customers. Customer complaints have spiked recently. I know that some of you have heard from some of our customers, and while we have assigned staff, our staff specifically to help out during these staffing challenges that TransDev has been facing, it really isn't a permanent solution. So we're proposing to add one full-time program enrollment coordinator to our Marin Transit staff, and this will bring the Travel Navigator program management and the most complex and sensitive tasks in-house, specifically eligibility review and determinations, more complicated customer service support, mobility wallet management, and low-income fare management activities would be performed in-house then. Removal of the Travel Navigator services from the TransDev contract will reduce the annual fixed fee by $171,000. And the salary and benefits and overhead costs, which are spelled out in the packet item there, are estimated to be about $200,000 per year for a new analyst level position. And that would result in a net cost increase of about $29,000 per year. And we're asking again for your approval today of one position and an amendment to the 25-26 budget to make a net change of $14,500 to cover for an estimated 6 months. So that would be from half the year starting in January to account for the new position during that 6 month period. So that's our request, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Nancy. Any questions? No questions? Well, we'll take comments now, too.
Nancy, I just want to thank you very much for bringing this forward. I think, you know, the people who need the travel navigation need extra help, and I appreciate your responsiveness to sort of the issues I have raised from constituents who, you know, didn't feel like they were handled well with TransDev, or just not the right amount of customer care that the population needed, in particular a couple older adults who just kind of got lost in the system. And I think knowing Marin's geography and knowing the Marin Transit system intimately is going to really be helpful in getting more people riding and utilizing the services. So I really appreciate the responsiveness in bringing this back in-house.
There's no others. We'll just, any public comment?
I see no one in the room. I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
Right. Vice President Sackett, would you like to turn your comments into a motion?
I'd love to make a motion.
We have a second.
Second.
A second by Rodoni. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes. Thank you. And that's the approval of the position and the budget amendment. Thank you. With that, we'll move on to last item number seven, an update on Marin Transit mascots service change proposal.
Yes, and Robert's going to go over this with you. You've heard a lot about mascots over the last year, so Here we go with some service changes. Robert.
Great. Good morning, President Luke and members of the board. Robert Betts, Director of Operations and Service Development. Item number 7 in your packet is an update on our mascot service change proposal. This is the 4th consecutive board meeting that your board has heard an update on the mascots effort. Last month, at our October board meeting, we formally released our Marin Transit local service change proposal. This proposal was in response to the regional changes that SMART and Golden Gate were looking to advance forward. And it largely responded to two different areas. One is improvement in connections to those regional services at strategic locations, primarily in Southern Marin. And the other piece of our recommendation was to help backfill some of the loss in local service as a result of the Golden Gate Transit regional changes. I'll remind you all this, the mascots effort has been going on for nearly a year and a half, and it is really focused on the Highway 101 corridor services and the connectivity between Sonoma, Marin, and San Francisco. Since your board heard our proposal at October, the staff have been very busy doing outreach within the community, doing community engagement, coordinating with our riders and our stakeholders to help solicit feedback and comments. The attachment to your board packet today highlights all the efforts that were undertaken over the last month. It includes stakeholder interviews, focus groups, intercept surveys. We conducted 2 public hearings and a Facebook Live event, all in an attempt to solicit comments and feedback and to really help educate our riders and our stakeholders on the service change proposal. In total, we received approximately 40 formal written comments. Those were also included as an attachment to your board letter. For the most part, we did hear positive feedback, but I do want to highlight that there are 2 areas of the service change proposal that we continue to hear impactful comments from our riders and our stakeholders. The first is around the proposal to end the Route 17 in Marin City and to have Route 71 fill that gap in Sausalito. The second area that we're hearing concern is about the replacement of Route 36 with our new Route 26. So we will continue to evaluate those 2 elements of the service change proposal over the coming weeks. I'll just mention that the determination to advance those service change proposals was largely based on the ridership data that we had in place prior to doing the outreach. So what we were looking at is ridership patterns on local trips between primarily the canal, Central San Rafael, and Southern Marin, and trying to focus our services on best supporting those connections. And that was a lot of the reasoning behind having the 17 end in Marin City and now having the 71 come into Sausalito, was to largely backfill the loss in service that the 130, the Golden Gate route, was serving between Sausalito, the Southern Marin bus pads, and the San Rafael Transit Center. But again, we've heard a lot of comments that may not be the best move forward, so we're going to continue to evaluate that in the coming weeks here. Also included as an attachment to your board letter is a Title VI service equity analysis. Because of the nature of the service change, this is what we call a major service change, which does require this analysis to be performed. This equity analysis was done to determine if there is a disparate impact or disproportionate burden on minorities or low-income riders. And I think what the analysis shows is that the proposed change, as we've currently developed it, will not have an impact or burden on minority or low-income riders. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you have. This is an update. It's an information-only item. I do also want to highlight that pretty much the whole Marin Transit team over the last month has been very active in either directly doing the outreach and the engagement efforts or working on the back end to help do some of the data analysis for this proposal. So it's really been an all hands on deck effort.
Great, thank you. Thank you, Robert. Thank you for the update. I'll look to my colleagues here. We'll start with Director Bushy.
Thank you. I 100% support the MassCom work and want to see it do more in the future. Narrowing in on just the changes in the 71 in Southern Marin, and following up on some of the most recent comments, which were published in the newspaper yesterday, the focus seems to be on transportation from Mill Valley to the ferry terminal in Sausalito. Has there been any consideration of reviving the Golden Gate Transit ferry shuttles? There was a day when there were many of those. I'm wondering if that could be a solution to the particular problem that was outlined yesterday in the newspaper. So I guess my question is, have you considered that, or would you consider that?
So the ferry feeder shuttles historically were operated by Golden Gate Transit. The challenge with ferry feeders is they're very expensive, and because those shuttles need to time directly to the ferry. They need to hold for the ferry. They need to basically, you know, their schedules need to be based on the ferry schedules alone, and you're serving a very, you know, singular market with those ferries. What we try and do with the local service is time to the San Rafael Transit Center. That's kind of the core of our ridership activity. That's where we're facilitating transfers. And oftentimes downstream, it becomes harder to make those direct connections to the ferry terminals and to other regional connections. Some of the service change proposal, like the proposal to have the 26 replace the 36, would allow us to have a timing outside the transit center to a new regional connection in Southern Marin. When we look at ridership to the ferry terminal, so we analyze all the transfer data between bus and ferry, it's less than 5 passengers per day between the 17 and the Sausalito ferry. So that market today is very small. And so again, the service change proposal was to prioritize the trips between central San Rafael, the canal, and Sausalito over the Mill Valley to Sausalito ferry connection.
Oh, that's super illuminating information. That was not the impression I got from reading yesterday's newspaper. Thank you.
All right, any others? Director Rodoni.
Yeah. Just a brief comment. You probably may know that the Golden Gate Bridge District postponed the approval of the MassCOT at our last board meeting, primarily focused on the late night travel between Sonoma and Marin. The board was pretty uncomfortable with not having any solution in place after the last smart train runs to be able to go north. And the direction the staff was to get back with its MassCOT partners and come up with some real solutions to present to us so that we could solve that problem in some way. And the suggestion was maybe just a late night sweeper, a shuttle van that could sweep late night to bring those 6 or 10 people that are impacted to into Sonoma County if needed. So I just wanted to mention that. You'll be talking about that, I guess, in this next MassCOT meeting.
Any others? We'll quickly go to public comment.
I see no one in the room. I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Robert, thank you for the update. I think that concludes our agenda for today, at least for our formal monthly Marin Transit Directors meeting. So we will be adjourning but then we will be opening up our next special meeting on the short range transit plan. That's going to be next door. So with that, our meeting is adjourned. Thank you.